Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live drum and bass lesson on building long, evolving intro atmospheres using arrangement view. The big idea is simple. In DNB, the intro is where you sell the mood. Before the drums and bass smash in, you're building expectation, tension, and a sense of place. And the reason we're doing this in arrangement view is because long intros aren't really about a loop that plays for a minute. They're about a story curve, automation, resampling, subtle edits, and contrast. By the end, you'll have a 32 to 64 bar intro with a wide atmospheric bed, a Foley or noise layer that glues everything together, a minimal tonal motif that people remember, a tension element that doesn't sound cheesy, and then a transition into the drop that actually makes the drop feel heavier, not smaller. All right, let's set the project up in a way that stays fast. Set your tempo somewhere in the usual DNB zone, 170 to 175 BPM. Now jump into arrangement view and decide your intro length. 32 bars is functional. 64 bars is cinematic and label style. Either works, but for this lesson, think in 64 bar terms so you have room to evolve without rushing. Add locators. Put one at the intro start, one at bar 17 for halfway lift, one at bar 33 for pre-drop, and one where your drop lands. Don't overthink the numbers, just create a roadmap so you can arrange like you're editing a film. Now do one workflow move that will save you later. Color code and name your tracks early. Atmos, Foley, Motif, Tension. Maybe an intro bus. When you're deep into automation lanes, this organization is the difference between pro session and why is my life like this. Step 1. The atmosphere bed. This is your fog layer. It needs to feel alive over a long time, without obviously looping. Create a MIDI track and name it ATMPAD. If you want a fast stock method, drop in Waveatable. Pick something complex for oscillator 1, like a vocalish or rich Waveatable, and set the position somewhere around the middle so it has harmonics to work with. Oscillator 2 can be a sine or triangle tucked in quietly, just to give the pad body that survives when you filter it. Add a little unison. Not to make it huge, but to make it wide and unstable in a good way. 4 to 6 voices is plenty. Then set the filter to something smooth, like MS2, and start with the cutoff fairly low. Don't worry about the exact number yet, because we're going to automate it. Shape the amp envelope like a real atmosphere. Slow attack, long release. You want it to bloom, not poke. Then add chorus ensemble subtly for motion, and hybrid reverb for space. Go hall-like, maybe even a hint of shimmer if it fits, but keep it tasteful and dark. The key move is to high cut the reverb so the top end doesn't get fizzy and EDM shiny. Heavy DNB intros usually live in shadow, not sparkle. Now the musical content. Keep it restrained. 1 or 2 chords, or even one sustained root note. This is important. In rolling DNB, minimal harmony often hits harder because it leaves room for atmosphere and tension. You're not writing a jazz progression here. You're creating a world. If you want a more found jungle vibe, this is where granulator can be magic. Drop in a vocal stab, a string hit, even a field recording that has a pitch center, and let it evolve with grain settings and slow position movement. The goal is non-repetition. Long intros get boring when they feel like a 4-bar loop wearing different clothes. Now step 2 is the whole game, arrangement view automation. We're going to automate a small number of parameters with strong intent. This is where most people go wrong. They automate 10 things a tiny bit, and nothing feels like it's changing. Instead, pick 2 or 3 story controls per layer and make the moves audible. On the ATM pad, insert auto filter before the reverb. Set it to a low pass, something like LP24. Start the cutoff low, maybe 200 to 400 Hz if you want it super distant, and over 32 to 64 bars you gradually open it into the kilohertz range. Add a touch of resonance so it has a tone as it opens. Then automate the reverb dry/wet. Here's the counterintuitive move. Start wetter at the very beginning, because distance equals reverb. Then as you approach the drop, reduce wetness so the space pulls back and the drop has somewhere to land. If you stay drenched right into the downbeat, the drop won't feel like an impact. It'll feel like it entered the same fog. Next, automate stereo width using utility. Start slightly narrower. Open it wider in the mid-intro when the energy lifts. Then narrow again right before the drop. That narrowing is a framing trick. When you snap back to a big, wide drop, it feels like the track just got heavier and more expensive. And a coaching note here. Don't draw only straight ramps. Use curves like a DJ. Long plateaus where nothing major changes and the listener settles in. Then small lift points where brightness or density steps up. And tiny micro edits like a 1-beat mute or a quick dip that signals forward motion. Now step 3. The glue layer, the noise and texture bed, this is what makes your pad feel like it exists in a physical world, not just in a synth. Create an audio track called Foley BED. You can use real recordings, room tone, rain tape hiss, vinyl, train ambience, metal movement, whatever fits the vibe, or generate it with operator noise, erosion, and subtle vinyl distortion. Either way is fine, as long as you treat it like a mix element, not an effect that runs wild. Build a classic chain. EQ first, high pass around 150 to 300 Hz because the intro must be sub-clean. If your atmosphere has low energy below, say, 80 to 120 Hz, you're stealing impact from your drop. Then tame any harshness around 2 to 4K if it bites. Add slow autopan, super slow rate, small to medium amount. This gives drift without sounding like a trance gate. Then a touch of grain delay, very subtle. We're talking barely noticeable shimmer, not digital chaos. Low dry slash wet, low feedback, short time, just enough to create moving specks. Then a little saturation so it sits forward at low volume, and a smaller reverb than the pad, with a low cut inside the reverb so it doesn't bloom into mud. Now arrange it like an editor. Don't run a single Foley loop for 64 bars. Slice it into sections and swap textures every 8 or 16 bars, even if the change is subtle. Crossfade between them. This is one of the easiest ways to remove what I call loop smell, where the ear subconsciously hears the repeat even if it can't name it. Optional advance to tail. Create air grit without harshness. Duplicate the Foley, high pass it aggressively up at like 3 to 6K, add light saturation, then low pass around 10 to 12K. Blend it quietly. This gives presence that reads on small speakers without turning into pain. Step 4. The tonal motif. Minimal, eerie, and memorable. This is not a lead melody. It's a signature. Create a MIDI track called Motif. Operator is perfect. Start with a sine. Then add just a touch of FM edge from a second oscillator so it has character. Add echo set to an eighth, or dotted eighth so it creates space and rhythm without becoming drums. Filter the delay so it stays dark. You want depth, not brightness. Then add auto filter in bandpass mode, and give it gentle movement with an LFO so it breathes. Now arrange it with call and response. For the first 16 bars, it shows up maybe once every 4 bars. Then in bars 17 to 32, it gets a little more frequent or slightly higher in pitch, like the camera moves closer. Then the pro move. In the pre-drop, it disappears. Bass equals tension. Removing a key element is often more powerful than adding a riser. This ties into a bigger concept. Think in energy bands, not tracks. Early intro can be mostly mid-range fog. Mid-intro adds upper air and tiny transient details, like ticks and bright specks. Then pre-drop, you can briefly remove low mids, like 200 to 500 Hz, to create a perceived void before you even do a master high pass. The listener feels the floor fall out. Step 5. Tension without cheese. Create a track called Tension. The classic stock method is a noise riser with operator. Noise on, auto filter low pass, automate the cutoff from a few hundred hertz to way up into 12K. Add resonance, add saturator, and you can even automate the drive slightly up in the last few bars. For an advanced DNB flavor, automate something that creates an ease rather than festival riser energy. A tiny amount of redux or frequency shifter by a very small amount can feel cold and industrial. Subtle is the word. If the listener notices the effect more than the tension, it's too much. Also consider an anti-riser. Instead of adding tension, remove a layer for 2 bars, then bring it back brighter or with more send. Tension via absence is huge in darker DNB. Now step 6. Transition design. This is where intros often fail. People make a massive intro, then the drop comes and somehow feels smaller. That's almost always because of low end and tails. Let's design the vacuum, impact, and tail discipline. In the last bar before the drop, create a vacuum. Ideally do this on an intro bus rather than the master, so your drop can be untouched. Automate a high pass filter up to around 150 to 300 Hz right before the drop. You're basically pulling the weight out of the room so, when the drop hits, it feels like gravity returns. You can also do a micro dip in gain, just a tiny one, then release it right at the downbeat. That tiny release can make the drop feel like it jumps forward. Now add an impact, a hit, a subless thump, a noise blast. But here's the rule. If that impact has sub, high pass it. The drop sub must be king. Your impact is for transient and drama, not for competing with the bass line that's about to arrive. Now tail discipline. If you have long reverbs, print them. Freeze and flatten the pad, or resample the reverb return, and turn that tail into audio. Then fade it, Eck it, and shape it so it doesn't mask the first kick and snare. And here's a very pro trick. Instead of fading the whole tail shorter, carve a hole right where the first hits land. Automate the reverb return down just for the first half bar after the drop, or automate an EQ dip around where your snare fundamental lives. It keeps the cinematic tail but makes the drum impact read clean. Add sidechain compression on the Atmos group keyed from your drop kick or snare. You don't need heavy pumping. 1 to 3 dB of ducking is enough to make the drop punch through while the intro atmosphere still feels like it's present behind the drums. Step 7. Organize with groups and returns for control. Group your pad, Foley, motif, and tension into an Atmos bus. Keep drums separate. If you have other musical bits, put them in a music bus. Set up returns, a long dark reverb, a short room, and a delay. In intros, automation is often better on sends than stacking reverbs on every track. Automate send levels. Automate the return EQ too. You can open the reverb brightness mid-intro, then darken it pre-drop. This creates evolution without touching every single track. If you want cleaner reverb management, do some mid/side EQ on the long reverb return. Keep the side airy by high-passing it higher, and keep the mid controlled by dipping boxy low mids around 200 to 500 if needed. That's how you keep width without the reverb blanket smothering your drop. Now a few common mistakes to dodge. Mistake 1. Too much sub in the intro atmosphere. High-pass pads and textures. Keep the low end reserved. Mistake 2. Reverb tails masking the first drop hit. Print tails. Fade them. Duck them or carve holes. Mistake 3. Everything wide all the time. Width contrast is arrangement. Narrow to wide to narrow, then let the drop earn the width. Mistake 4. Looping texture that never changes. Swap full eclipse, crossfade, and automate at least a few key parameters with intention. Mistake 5. Overcomplicated harmony. Atmosphere wins. This audio version is shortened for playback.